Thank you. Do I have the right one, Jordan? Am I the right mic here? Thank you. Okay, great. Awesome. Hey, thank you all who made it to our house. Thank you for coming by. We're delighted to have you there. We're sorry if anybody has any rashes from Finney licking them to death. He's a very friendly dog. We're sorry about that. And those of you that didn't make it, we take it personally, but God has forgiven us a lot, and so we can forgive too. No, really, thank you so much for coming. You're welcome at our home anytime. Our kids pray for you with us every night and everything, and we're delighted to have you over. Three of our kids weren't there tonight because there were games tonight for their school, soccer games and volleyball games as well, and so they were doing that stuff and everything, which was a lot of fun. And so some of them were gone, but we're glad you're there. One of our students was the first one to jump off our deck onto our trampoline, so now all the kids want to do that all the time. And so if you have any daring things that you want to do in front of our children, please talk to us first, because some of them are fine. We want our kids to be adventurous and everything, but we also want to see them live and stuff. So please encourage them to have fun and everything, but run anything that's potentially deadly by us first would be great. And that's awesome. So, but we really are glad that you were there. Thank you for coming by. It's a lot of fun. We love having you there. And it's amazing. We love our neighborhood. We're kind of surrounded by people from church there in our neighborhood. It's amazing. We'll get into that a little bit later, but it's amazing. All right. So some of you have Memorial Day plans that are going to some places, Palouse Falls, whatever it might be. And so I was playing with my phone a little bit. Check this out. I've got, this is Droid. And so check it out. So navigate to Moscow. It's Droid. Some of you going, that's exactly why you should be on a different platform. There we go. Okay, great. Let's try it again. Okay, yeah.
Navigate to Moscow. Moscow, all right.
Okay, so Moscow, which is what it always does, right? You're like, really? Seriously? Okay, but no problem. It says 17 minutes from here. It's great. Okay, now check this out.
Navigate to someplace cool. I can't find that place.
I'm like, yeah, me neither, okay? I would like to find someplace cool.
Navigate to someplace meaningful. I can't find that place.
It just keeps doing that over and over again. And so I tested on a whole bunch of stuff. Now, Siri might do way better, but I was just kind of navigate to someplace with meaning. And it just kept saying, I can't find that place. I'm like, that's the same problem I have, you know? My phone, my smartphone is no smarter than me, that's for sure, all right? I'm like, dumb phone, you know? It's not very helpful sometimes. And it reminded me of, we were on a little Memorial Day weekend trip as a family, and Suzanne, you remember this too, we were down in Riggins, Idaho, and I graduated from high school in McCall, Idaho, which is up in the mountains in Idaho. It's a beautiful place, mountain lake, about a mile high and everything. And so we were in Riggins, which is down below it, a lot closer to sea level. It's not sea level, but it's, 2,500 feet, something like that, whatever. And you climb up to McCall. Well, there's this road that goes along the river. It's this beautiful road. It's a paved road along the river for a little while. And then it turns to a dirt road and goes up this place called Partridge Creek, where there was a fire that I was working on a timber sale when I was in college. Working up in there, it was really cool and beautiful. I got to fly in a helicopter on that timber sale and everything. It was just a ridiculous waste of money, but it was funded by taxpayers, and so it was just fine. And so we got to do that. And I've never been on that road, though, over the top of the whole thing. It goes up over this little pass. It's about 6,500 feet up in elevation, and then back down into McCall through Bergdorf Hot Springs and all this stuff. Right? Okay, I've never done that. And so we're with the family. I'm thinking, how cool would it be, all right, to take my kids up over that? We'll just go down into McCall, get some ice cream, and then head all the way back to Pullman. This is going to be a phenomenal adventure, all right? And so we're in our minivan, and we drive up the river a little ways, the Salmon River. And it's gorgeous. I mean, it really is. We're stopping and doing the, looking at some of the little, informational things that, the tourist detractions or whatever there is along the way and everything and all that. We're doing all that stuff, and it's really fun. And then we start up what's called French Creek to go up in there, and it says, caution. Road beyond here is, not maintained or navigable by all vehicles or something like that. Well, I'm like, we're in a minivan, and we still had our snow tires on, all right, okay, and they're still the snow tires, but still they're snow tires, they have extra traction, I'm thinking, we're just fine, plus, I graduated from high school in the mountains, and so I can drive on this stuff, we'll be just fine, Okay, so we head up this road, all right, and my first warning should have been that there hadn't been much traffic at all. My next one should have been that we went over a rock that scraped the bottom of our van. I'm like, ooh, you know, everybody help Daddy watch for rocks from now on. We don't want to lose our oil pan up here in the mountains, all right? And so ATVs are going by us. We're up this road and everything. We're going up there, and we are seriously clinging to this the side of this breaks down into, you know, into the Salmon River and everything. Where, I mean, phenomenal rock rolling kind of country. Anybody into rock rolling when you were? Thank you all. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, it was incredible. I wanted to roll a rock so bad. Okay, but it would have been wrong. And I would teach the kids to do that and everything. Like I said, you want to, you know, think before you teach them to do something deadly. So. We didn't roll rocks. We're right on there. And our daughter Anna is freaking out. You know, she wants to be on the inside, you know, not looking over the cliff and all stuff. I'm like, Anna, we're fine. You know, I went to high school in McCall. You know, we're fine. I don't know why that became my mantra. I said that way too many times, which should have been another warning. All right. So we're driving up this road. Okay. And we get up there, and there's less and less tracks. Okay. Less and less tracks. And we had to go around some logs. You know, there been some trees that fell on the road and everything. And people had cut them out of the way a little bit with a chainsaw, enough for an ATV. All right. So we got our van, and I'm like, I think we can make it, you know. And so we squeak through. There's like, yeah, you know. And so, and we kind of kept driving. So we kept going, and we're going up, and there's less and less and less places where there's been any traffic at all, all right? And again, more places where someone caught just a little bit of a tree off, so they get an ATV around, and we're getting around it in the van and everything. And I seriously started to get a little bit nervous, all right? I'm like, you know, I went to high school in McCall, but this is getting a little sketchy, all right? We're on this dirt road, and it's really, really kind of sketchy. And the other thing is that we're now we're out of we have no reception. There's no GPS, which is really interesting to me. How can a global positioning system give you nothing, you know, in a lot of places on the planet? I'm like, apparently, you know, this isn't using any sort of satellite, anything. It's using cell phone towers, right? And I'm going, there's no satellites involved in this whole thing at all. And it would be really helpful right now because we're completely off the grid, and I'm a little nervous. I don't know where I'm going anymore, okay? But we're just going, we'll follow the main road, which doesn't have any traffic, and we'll get there eventually. And it's getting more and more and more sketchy. Then, okay, and it began to rain. All right, started to rain, and this dirt road started getting a little bit slicker, all right? We're going around some of these trees, kind of some dips and everything, and I'm getting a little bit more nervous, even though I went to high school in McCall. And we go on, we're starting to see a little more snow, and finally I realize there's no way we're going the right direction anymore because there's no traffic anymore except, like, there's been one ATV up here, and we're trying to go over the top, all right? Now, some of you are thinking, why didn't you just turn around, okay? Because I thought we might be just, like, 1 mile from pavement, okay? As far as I know, we're about to drive into Bergdorf Hot Springs, you know, and like, yay! And the kids would go, Dad's a hero, we made it, you know, and everything. Anna, stop freaking out, we're going to be okay. I went to high school in McCall. So there's now we just have one ATV track, and I'm going, okay, there's no way, all right, that this is going to be the right direction or something. I don't know, whatever. So we turn around, and there's this other road that has like two, you can tell there's been two pickups on it or something like that with beefy tires and everything. I'm like, here we go. We're heading down this thing. And it started to get really interesting, sketchy. All right. It rained so hard at one point that I had to stop the car. And we just had to sit out the rain. You know, the kids are like, wow, Dad, this is crazy. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is an adventure, huh? You know? And as much as I'm chanting to myself, I went to high school McCall, I was really getting nervous and starting to pray a lot more. You know, I need more than high school McCall. I need God in heaven right now. Okay, is what I'm starting to think I need. So going down this road, all right, where there's been like two trucks, we could tell. We had seen one truck way off in the distance at one point. You know, we're like, wait. You know, I want to speed up, but I don't want to die, you know, and all that stuff. So, you know, and so finally, we're dropping down now a little bit. And I'm going, man, I hope we're headed down into this thing. But this doesn't seem like this is any sort of main road. I don't know, but we got a couple tracks. We'll just follow it. And finally, we pull up behind this pickup. I'm thinking, hallelujah, you know, civilization, you know. We have found intelligent life, you know. And the door opened, and I was like, this is not intelligent life. I'm just kidding. It was absolutely intelligent life. Yeah, these guys are great. And they're like, what, you know, what are y'all doing? And I'm like, well, we're, you know, I went to high school in McCall. And so while it may look like I'm lost, and I am, I know that I'm on the verge of Bergdorf Hot Springs and everything. And so can you tell me, though, because I'm not familiar with this road, most of them I am, but not this one, where are we? And he goes, yeah, this is just some side road. We're kind of scouting this for hunting and everything. The main road, I told him where we'd been. He goes, yeah, that's shut down. It's still snowed in. You can't go over the top at all. That was the main road. So he said, you just have to go back out the way you came in. I'm like, okay, thanks so much for the information. you know, because I don't want to go back through what we went through, okay? And it's raining, it's getting worse, and all this stuff. It was already scary. So we turn around, it's like an 80-point turnaround on this logging road hugging a mountain, you know, that like a sheep wouldn't have turned around on. They're like, not yet. All right, we're going to keep going, we're going to keep going. And then they turn around, you know, and away they go, you know. And I'm trying to turn our minivan with snow tires around on this thing, all right? So we turn around. And at this point, I'm like, okay, honey, let's get a DVD playing, you know, because the kids are starting to pick up the fear in dad's eyes and everything, you know, it's just getting worse. Totally serious, you know, like, put on a movie, you know, and so they're watching, you know, whatever, 14, some movie, you know, and everything's kind of quiet. And so I'm like, honey, I'm nervous, you know. This is the most nervous I've ever been with our family in a vehicle, okay, by far, all right? It's a slick, straight down and everything, slick roads and raining and all this stuff and everything. And we've got to climb up out of this thing in a minivan, and there's one pickup, okay, in this whole thing. And I don't even know what these guys are doing there. They're probably nervous, you know. And I'm thinking, these guys are going, we're going to be scraping these guys off the rocks, you know, maybe on the way out of here and everything. By the grace of God, we made it, all right. But it certainly, and I'm seriously, by the grace of God. And we got back down to that boring paved road, and I've never been so glad to be on a paved road in my life, boring, touristy paved road in my life. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for pavement. You know, I almost got out and kissed it. You know, it was just so wonderful to be back there and everything. And I'm like asking myself, and the process of the whole thing, I should have done, you know, a little more research before we did this. You know, the road's closed, all right? Would have been great to know. Don't even try, okay? Probably shouldn't have tried it in the first place in a minivan, okay? But especially with it closed, all right? We got two big problems there, minivan and road closed, all right? And it was a little bit terrifying. And it reminds me, Proverbs 11:14 says this, where there is no guidance, a people falls. Where there is no GPS, okay, global position, where there's no guidance, where there's no, you know, where am I going here? But an abundance of counselors, it says there is safety. And I needed to get some information from some other people to keep myself, but way more importantly, the family safe. Myself, alone in that situation, back before I had a family and everything, would have been like, oh, this is kind of sketchy and everything. But hey, you know, life is about adventure to some degree. It's a whole different thing. We have a wife and four kids in a minivan, you know. And you go, who's going to take care of the dog if we die, you know, and also, you know, you just think about things completely differently. It was pretty stupid, you know, frankly, pretty stupid to not get the information ahead of time. And I'm going, what am I doing here? Okay, our topic tonight is this. Where am I going? All right. What is it that I'm doing here? I had this idea where I was going, but I really didn't understand really ultimately where I was going or how I was going to get there in the process of this whole thing. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of us are kind of living life that way. We're going, I'm just going to kind of hope that it sort of works out along the way. I don't know if I really know where I'm going. I don't really know how to get there. I don't know if I have the right vehicle to get me there. I don't know if I have the right people in the vehicle to help me get there. I don't really know necessarily what's going on at all. I'm just kind of playing this by ear a little bit, taking it as it comes. And when it's all said and done, you know, the people that are with me going, we're with you. I'm like, you know what? Why don't you put on your headphones and watch a DVD, because it's time for me to start praying, all right? Because going to high school in McCall is no longer the answer to all of my problems, giving me the sense of security and it's going to be okay that I need. I need something more than that. And my question for you is this. At what point along the way, at what point in your journey, at what point in the process of all this are you going, how do I change this situation? How do I backtrack? How do I recover from what I've done here so far? How did I get here in the first place? I don't really know where I'm going or how I'm really going to get there. And now I'm in trouble. And if I could just start over and be on the pavement back there at the beginning of this whole thing and never have even seen the sign for French Creek, I would be an incredibly happy individual right now. We could be back in Pullman right now eating ice cream in Pullman instead of hoping that we might get Pullman in McCall someday. I don't know. You know, I would have done anything to just turn it all around because I was scared. At what point in our lives, in our journey, in the destination, do we hit this place where we're going, I should have done this differently? Are we really evaluating what's going on, where we're going, what's really going on here? 1 Kings 17:18-19, we don't have time to really read through the whole thing tonight, but I want to just kind of give you the story a little bit. Some of you are familiar with kind of the big point of the whole thing, all right, and this whole thing. There's this prophet named Elijah, and Elijah, this incredible guy, is all kinds of miracles have happened through him and his ministry, his life and all this stuff and everything. He prophesies to King Ahab, this really bad king, there's going to be a drought, it's not going to rain for a long time, and then he runs, you know, because Ahab's mad at him and everything, and he only gives him bad news, all right? He hides at the brook Cherith, and God sends birds and stuff to feed him. All right, it's not like, you know, Cinderella, you know, little tweety things and everything with happy music and everything and making a pretty dress kind of thing. All right, he's probably got a beard 15 feet long and everything, and crows are spitting up bread for him to eat and everything, and he's just like, I don't know how I got this job, all right, but I wish things were a little bit different, all right? Finally, that brook dries up. All right, he has to find food. He goes to this widow who has just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and he goes, hey, make me some food too. She goes, what? I only have enough for me and my son. We're going to eat this and then die. All right, that's how this is working for us. We don't know what God is doing, but this is what we got left. We're going to have a little going away party, all right? The party is this little meal, and then we're going away, all right? We're going to die. And Elijah says, hey, as surely as the Lord lives, feed me. And you're not going to run out of flour or oil until this drought is done. And so she makes him, a cake and everything. It's just kind of hard to imagine. But she does. She makes this thing for him, and she has food to feed herself and her son until the drought's over. It's incredible. Crazy miracle happens. It bumps into another widow. Her son has died. He raises the son from the dead by the power of God. This crazy thing happens, all right? And then they've got all this crazy stuff going down where the prophets of Baal, this false god, there's 450 of them, and he challenges all of them to this fire contest on top of Mount Carmel. And so King Ahab's up there with his 450 Baal prophet guys, and Elijah's up there all alone, and they decide that they're going to cry out to their gods, and whichever god answers by fire, the people are going to say that that one is the god. So the prophets of Baal go first, and they're doing all this stuff to try to get their god's attention. He's not a god in the first place, right? It's trying to get his attention, all this stuff, and they cut themselves, they're running around, they're doing all this crazy stuff, and there's nothing, there's crickets, and Elijah is so confident and cocky that he's talking smack to them. You read it in scripture, it's kind of ridiculous. So he's like, well, maybe you need to yell louder. Maybe your God is a little hard of hearing. Or maybe he's on vacation, and so you're not getting his attention. It even says this in scripture. He goes, maybe he's going potty right now, all right? You just got a little bit of time. Maybe he takes a little extra time on the pot. Some people do that, you know, whatever. Give him a little time, and then maybe he's going to answer you. He's seriously talking smack to them, and of course, there's nothing. Then he cries out to God, asks God to just do his thing, and the scripture says the fire of the Lord fell. And it gives me chills when I read that in 1 Kings 18. It's incredible. It's an incredible moment. God does this huge thing and shows himself to be mighty and everything, and they get rid of the prophets of Baal. It's an incredible victory and everything, and you're going, this must be the high for Elijah. Things are incredible. It's going amazing. This has been phenomenal stuff. And then Ahab's wife, Jezebel, says, I'm going to kill you. And he runs. You go, this is interesting. He's not afraid of the 450 prophets of Baal and everything that's going on there, but one person says, I'm going to kill you, and he runs. And he does. He flees. And he runs to this mountain, gets in this cave, and then the still small voice of God comes to him, and God says this to him, just a simple thing. He says, what are you doing here? And Elijah goes, well, duh, okay. The prophets of Baal did their thing and everything, and it didn't work right, okay, and all this stuff. I've been zealous for your name and everything, trying to tell the people, follow God, all right? And now they want to kill me, okay? And so I'm just hiding. It's not working out very well. A little bit of time, God kind of does some stuff with the weather. It's an interesting thing up there at the mountain and everything. And then this still small voice comes again and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he says it again. Hello, I've been really zealous for you. I've been telling everybody about you. All these crazy things have happened and everything. But I'm left alone, okay, and I'm just on my own, and they want to kill me, and so here I am. God asked him the question twice. What are you doing here? In this crazy, literal, mountaintop experience, and runs at the first sign of some sort of conflict, some sort of danger, he runs. He goes from saying, people, put your trust in God, to trusting in his legs to get him out of there and saying, that's the only thing that can save me. I'm in trouble. I don't know what you're doing, God. Where are you? And God says, what are you doing here? And my prayer tonight as we look at this is that every one of us would allow God to ask us that question as we go through life. Because we're going to have some amazing mountaintop experiences as we follow God. There are going to be some amazing things that happen in our lives. You're going to see God do amazing things, but those amazing things will never see you through some of the things that will follow. You're going to know, if God would just do this in my life, then I would follow him for sure. Some of us have prayed those prayers. God, if you just help me pass this test that I forgot was coming and I didn't study for, well, I did know it was coming, but it was more fun to not study than to and if you just help me pass this test, then I'll follow you all the days of my life. And everything that I have will be yours, whatever. Some of us prayed some crazy prayers like that. And even in the greatest moments, and like the moments where we look and say, God did something so profound, there's no doubt that it was him. If I ever doubt that there is a God, all I have to do is remember that moment. And I go, God, you're holy. God, you're worthy. God, you're powerful. God, you're amazing. I'm going to follow you. We think that. If I just had the moment that that person had, if I just had the experience with God that person had, if God would just show up again in my life in a real way, then everything would be fine. It's not true. Because Elijah, after one of the most profound moments in the history of God moving in the life of men and women on the earth, moments later, he's running scared. And God says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, it's just not working out real well. It was great, and it's not working out real well right now, and I don't know what to do except hide. And my prayer is we'd hear him say that to us. What are you doing here? Where are we? What are we doing? What is the trajectory of our lives? I can't find that place. I don't know where that is. So just two things I want to encourage you tonight as we look at where we're going, what we're doing here, whatever, as we journey. The first one is this. Don't journey alone. Wherever it is that you're going, don't journey alone. Scripture makes it really clear. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. You will struggle in life. The people around you will struggle in life. We need someone there beside us to help pick us up when it's tough. And perhaps the biggest problem that Elijah had is that he was alone. And you might be thinking, well, he was alone. No, it's that the scripture tells us right before all this stuff happens on Mount Carmel that there were 100 other prophets of God hidden in another cave, so they didn't die. And he just joined the cave hiding thing experience, all right? All by himself, whatever. What if he'd hung out with 100 other prophets and they're going, hey, Elijah, dude, you're the Mount Carmel guy, all right? Man up, all right? You know, we need a little bit, we need to drink the Kool-Aid that you've been drinking, all right? We need that thing. Whatever you did there, will you do that again? He's alone. He's by himself, all right? And all of this doubt and fear begins to overwhelm him and everything as he's on his own. Do not journey alone, on your own. You might make some crazy decisions that you would never make if there was somebody else there going, bro, you serious? You want to do this? You sure you want to head up French Creek? Oh, man, I went to high school in McCall. They go, pretty sure there's people who went to high school in McCall that are dead now, all right? If that's all you got, you need something better than that, all right? You don't, like, rip open the shirt and there's a M on your chest, McCall. You went to high school in McCall. What's that mean, McCall? It means I can drive a minivan anywhere I want. And keep my family safe. Bro, that means nothing, all right? That shirt's stupid. You know, what do you got to, that gets you nowhere, all right? But we get these things going in our heads, all right? Seriously, I said that to the guys in the pickup. I went to high school because I felt stupid, all right? And I'm saying it in my head before that, and I'm saying it to them, I go, this is bad. Okay, in the presence of some other people, all of a sudden, the argument starts to be revealed for what it is. Pretty stupid. All right? They're like, then you should know better than this. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Well, you know, that's a good question. I messed up. All right? When we're alone, we justify and do some things that we would never, never do with some people around us, especially great people around us. I read recently that we will be the sum of the 5 people we spend the most time with in life. You will be the sum of the 5 people you spend the most time with. Think about that for just a minute. All right, start to count that out a little bit, okay? Think about the aggregate of those 5 people, okay? Do you like where you're going right now? Some of you are going, man, I'm crazy. What am I thinking? You know, all right? Some of us need to adjust some of that, all right? If you're not hanging out with some people that will challenge you in your walk with God, if you're not hanging out with some people that will challenge you in the zeal of your faith, if you're not hanging out with some people that are challenging you in your understanding of God and who He is, that are provoking you to grow and to become more and more the man or woman of God than you are today, and you're kind of plateauing or you're going, well, I'm just hanging out with people that I can help. The aggregate of that is not headed the right direction. God has a trajectory for your life that's beautiful. And if you're alone or worse yet, surrounded by people who are going the wrong direction of that, then you're going to miss out on what it is that God has for you. Don't journey alone. Second, pursue a vision for your life. Pursue a vision for your life. Okay? Vision, pursue vision over direction. Okay? I want you to just say that real quick. Pursue vision over direction. We fixate on direction. I need to know where I'm going. I need to know where I'm going. If I just knew what it's supposed to look like 10 years down the road, all right? If I just knew where things were going to, what it's going to look like, if I just knew how to be really prepared for what's coming, then I would just do that. But here's the reality of that. If we knew what it's supposed to look like 5 years from now, we'd say, thanks, God, check out for 5 years and go make the next 5 years happen on our own and completely miss out on God. We've got to pursue vision over direction for our lives. Vision is who we're becoming. Direction is just what we're going to be ultimately doing. Who are we becoming in the process of the whole thing is way more important than ultimately where we're going to go. You might end up in some crazy places because God's going to use you in a profound way. And if you are becoming the person you're supposed to become, if there's vision for your life taking you that direction, then profound things will happen. I hope that 10 years from now, I pray that 10 years from now, you're in situations that will scare you because God has put you there. And He's made you the man or woman of faith that's able to handle that situation that you never would have been on your own. Never would have been in your own understanding, your own mind, your own dreams, your own visions for your own life. We need a vision for our lives that's straight from the throne room of God. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Vision is translated here, okay, if you dig into it a little bit in the original language, it means divine communication. That's why it says prophetic vision. We need divine communication into our lives. What is God speaking into your life? Where is God taking you? That was the furthest thing from my mind when I came to school. Came to school to get a degree. I'm going, is this what I'm supposed to do? Whatever. It seriously had not occurred to me on my own to say, God, what is it that you want to do with this life? I had no divine communication, no prophetic sort of vision for my life, none. And so there was no restraint. There was just do whatever. There was just go through the motions. So I was just kind of wasting time, just kind of spinning my wheels, going nowhere. I cast off restraint and it just kept, I'm just going to just see what happens, just kind of take what comes. And I sort of ended up, okay, on this sketchy road, in the rain, in the mud, hoping that it wasn't going to be the end of me, all right? That's what happens where there isn't divine communication, prophetic vision. We need to know what it is that God is speaking to us. Have we even taken the time to listen? Have we even taken the time to ask? Or are we just going, I'm just going to see how this works out? End with this illustration. There's a couple in our church, Amir and Devin Owens. Amir is a strength coach at WSU. Some of you may have met him. He's an amazing guy. I think we've got a pic of the two of them. He's a strong dude, all right? And he's been working with athletes for a long time. And we painted their house, and he was working out one morning when we were painting their house. And I almost had to say, hey, Amir, okay, you need to stop re-racking whatever it is that you're squatting that hard because you're shaking the paint off the house we're trying to paint right now, okay? I mean, seriously, he'd rack it, boom, and the whole wall would shake. I'm like, seriously? Okay, Amir? All right? You know, I mean, I'm like, I don't know what this dude's lifting, you know, but it's got more zeros than anything I've ever seen before. It's crazy. It's an amazing guy. All right, amazing guy. And then his wife, Devin, she's done a bunch of design work, all that kind of stuff for them. So we painted their house, and the before and after of painting the exterior of the house was just crazy, amazing, and all this stuff. And I love it. Amir, you know, you think about him as a strength coach and everything, and he has vision and direction for the athletes he's working with. He doesn't just put him in a gym and just say, okay, see those heavy things? Lift them, all right? Just go lift them, all right? See you guys in a couple hours. You know, I'm going to get some coffee over here, you know, and away he goes. No, not at all, all right? He's got this whole plan put out and everything, this whole purpose. This is what we're going to do this and this time, and we're going to, we need you to eat this much. We need you to get this much protein. We got to get some carbs here. We got to get all this stuff. This whole thing that goes together, and this whole strength, this whole training regimen to get them to perform at a peak sort of level when they need to perform at a peak sort of level. It's this crazy huge thing. There's absolute vision for where it is that he's taking people, right? Okay. And then Devin does this stuff with decorating all this stuff too and everything, and she does the same thing. And that's actually more of the point here, okay? Because Suzanne, I just had a big birthday. It's okay to say that, honey, right? And so she had her 40th birthday and everything. I know she looks 27. She had her 40th birthday, all right? and I didn't, when we got married, okay, I didn't understand how big birthdays were. Because in my family, your birthday, you just kind of was a little blip on the page. There were 9 kids, you know? And you're just happy that you survived. It was your birthday. You're like, man, I'm just glad I survived another year, you know? And everybody's like, hey, happy birthday, you know? And you got a little bit of extra food that night and everything, you know? And you're like, eat a little extra food, you know, whatever. Whereas you're like, man, I'm living the dream here on my birthday. I get an extra mashed potato, you know, whatever. And there we go. We celebrate a little more than that, but it wasn't that big a deal. And her family was a big deal, and which was great. Okay, but I didn't understand that, okay? And so her 30th birthday came and went and everything. I was just kind of like, hey, happy birthday, your 30th birthday. And I didn't find out, you know, until later down the road a little bit that I really kind of blew it, you know, kind of missing the big birthday thing and all that stuff. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing, you know? I thought, I gave you extra potatoes that night. And I thought you were going to be like, this is the best birthday ever, you know? And that wasn't the case. And so for this one, I thought it'd be fun to kind of do something a little bit different, a little bigger. And so I talked to Devin, and she, I said, hey, she's asking me leaving for a few days with her sister and sister-in-law and a really close friend. And we've gone for a few days. I thought it'd be kind of fun to do a remodel in her house while she's gone. All right. And Devin's like, and surprise her? And I'm like, yeah. You know, and she goes, well, you know, most women don't want, they want to be involved in the process or anything. I said, I know Suzanne pretty well at this point, okay? And I know she wants it to look great, but she doesn't necessarily want to make all the decisions. And I know you're going to make it look great. And so will you do that? And she goes, well, what do I do? What do I do? And I go, just do your thing, whatever you do and everything. And it'll be great, you know? And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, well, how are we supposed to do that? Whatever. She goes, I said, well, here's the deal. We painted your house, okay? So what you can do is drop a check off at our house for painting the house. And then, you know, drop a check off to Suzanne, all right? And then you could, like, you know, just scope the place out a little bit. She's like, okay, that's kind of sketchy, but we do that. So she stopped by a couple weeks ago and to kind of scope the place out a little bit and all that stuff and everything and all that and everything. And I think she went home that day and started ordering things, all right, and everything. And so away she went on this whole thing, all right? And all. So I'll show you some before and after pics, okay, what Devin did. And so you can't see it super well. Some of you are at our house tonight and everything. But you see there was a mirror in the bottom pick, okay, and we put a window in, okay, and you see the crown molding and all that stuff and everything, and she completely redecorated, you know, and all that with the drapes and the blinds and all that stuff. It's just crazy. That's a new rug, carpet there, the ottoman and all that stuff and everything, things I don't know how to pronounce or say or what they're for and all that stuff, all that and everything. Okay, next one. Okay, so looking out at the fireplace. Again, so you see the windows there and the bottom one kind of there. And so you can see the new light fixtures hanging over the table and everything and the drapes and all that stuff again, all that happened and everything. Again, stuff I don't understand and everything is over my head. Next one. Okay, and so that's looking out there where the new window went and everything and all that. So she did that and wanted to do all that. And so got that. Next thing. Next one. Okay, yeah, so we had... So our house was built in the 60s, and the people that built in the 60s didn't change a thing the whole time we're there except their air filter and the furnace, okay? That's the only thing they ever changed. And so that railing there was straight out of the 60s and everything, and so we're going to change that, put in all that, and kind of update some so they can see what happened there and all that. And we got the shiplap there and the pic of the kids at the ocean and all stuff running and all that. Again, stuff that I don't necessarily understand either, okay? And I think we might have another one. Is that it? Is that okay, great. So I'm like, I don't understand this stuff, okay? And I know that, all right? I've done stuff around our house in the past and everything, you know? And so I'm like, hey, I'll paint that, you know? Because I do paint, all right? I'm like, hey, we can paint that. That's no problem. And it is kind of fun. One time Suzanne went to Walmart, and I knew I had time to paint the living room in our house. This is our first house. It was smaller. And so she left. I had everything ready in the next room, you know? She drove away. She got in the car and started to drive. And I said, go! And I think I had somebody else with me. I think maybe my brother was there and everything. And we took everything off the wall, painted the house, the living room real quick, and put the stuff back on the wall and everything. And she got back from Walmart, and we're just like, and she's like, what? what just happened? You know, we're like, oh, nothing. You know, whatever. You know, it's kind of fun. Everything. But, okay, especially as my eyesight has sort of failed, Susanna started saying things like this. Honey, can we have your guys come by and maybe paint our house, like, professionally sometime? I'm like, hey. Hey. Whoa. You know, because everything I do is fast and emergency and all that stuff and everything, okay? And so I thought, we want to do this right and all that and everything. And so, you know, we got some of the right people involved. We got the guy next to us, Jason Dyke, we've known him forever. He's a contractor, and so he did the window and all stuff for me, blah, blah. It's just amazing. So here, I want to show you Suzanne's reaction when she came home last night. The kids and I recorded this at 10:15. She had no idea what was going on, and so here's the video. That was great. That was a great moment. This is not my house. It's great. So she told me this morning, she goes, seriously, I was thinking, am I on a TV show right now? You know, I don't know what is going on here and everything. It was really cool. So, but I did it. No, I didn't actually do it. I had some thoughts about the whole thing, how the whole thing should go, okay, but I gathered a team, got some pros involved, okay, and without the touch of someone who understands how to make things beautiful for a lady and all that stuff and everything, it would have been, like, different, but not beautiful, all right? And then God blessed some stuff, too, and everything, and it led up to this freak-out moment that was really kind of fun, all right? And I show you that because seriously, there were a ton of great people involved. Some of the guys on the crew helped paint some stuff and all stuff too and everything. And all it was just amazing. You know, there's no way I could have done it. So grateful for incredible people, all right? If I had tried to do that on my own, okay, all right, I can hang drapes and blinds, okay, you know, and all that stuff and everything. But the right ones, you know, in the right place and all that stuff, the way that she wanted. You know, when it was all done, she told Devin that decorated all this stuff. She said, Devin, you understand my style better than I do, okay? All right? She would never say that to me, okay? So words are never going to come out of her mouth, you know, about me, whatever, all right? So there's some stuff I can do. There's no way. I wanted to bless her, okay? And I knew that on my own, all right? The direction of the whole thing, or the trajectory of the whole thing, was not going to go the way that it needed to go, all right? So I've lived enough life and been married long enough to Suzanne to know I need to get other people involved in this whole thing. If not, you know, she would have come home last night. I've been like, all right, honey, okay, so I need you to use your imagination, all right, okay? Because there's tools and stuff everywhere, all right? And there's some stuff that's half painted, and there's some things that are broken, all right? But, all right, over the next 2 months, okay, here's what we're going to do, all right? Do you have eyes to see it right now? You know, I can just hear her going, why did you do this to me, you know? And, you know, she probably, the video would have looked probably pretty similar. What? Drop the stuff, all right? This is not my house. No. You know, totally different kinds of tears, you know? All right, you hear what I'm saying? Who is determining the direction, the trajectory of the decisions that you're making? If you're making them on your own with these great ideas of where they're supposed to go, you might end up in a completely different place than you ever would have imagined or dreamed. God wants to do beautiful things in our lives, but we're not going to get there on our own. Have the worship team come up, please, now. It'd be great. You might be thinking, hey, I'm off the grid. I went to high school in McCall. I'm free to wander. I'm free to slide. I'm free to fall, because we don't really necessarily know where we're going. If we're out there on our own, if there isn't a vision from God to get you there, a vision bigger than your own, a vision from someone who's got the best plan, the greatest plan, the greatest purpose for our lives, then we might end up in some really weird places where really only mountain goats and sheep are supposed to be, wishing we'd never gotten been there in the first place. I know a lesson from a guy who's lived a little bit of life and still makes mistakes in pride sometimes and arrogance even sometimes. If we'll get a hold of God and what it is that he has for us, he'll take us places, he'll take us on adventures that we could never make up, never even dare to dream of on our own. That's our God. We'll never get there alone, and we'll never get there without a vision from him. Let's pray. God, I ask tonight, right now, for anyone who's never even had the audacity to ask you what your vision, what your direction for their lives might be, that tonight that would begin to take place, that would begin to happen, God. That they draw near to you, they'd look to you and ask you some questions that maybe are going to take, it's going to take more courage than they have right now in their own strength. But God, I pray for divine communication. We ask for prophetic vision in the lives of everybody gathered here tonight. So we don't just take off some direction, hoping it's all going to work out someplace. But that, God, you'd help us to grab a hold of vision more than direction, purpose over the end game in this whole thing. You, Jesus, over anything else, God, let it be laid down, submitted to you and your purposes and your glory. God, I ask tonight, as we're here, that we'd ask the question, what am I doing here, wherever it is that our hearts are right now, that we'd have the boldness to assess that here in your presence, and that, God, you'd speak to us. God, that you'd give us greater vision for where it is that you're taking us than we dare to have on our own right now. God, we look to you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.